The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Kevin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Tammy. I'm from Tennessee, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Marcy Holland, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
Hi, I'm Chitali from Maryland, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 497 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean, and we're going to finish up on Michelle's recent trip to Walt Disney World. This is the final installment, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the things that she discovered and saw, and Chris and I will ask her some questions, and we'll see if we can find out some information that you may not be aware of. So sit back and relax as we go to episode 497 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast.
Questions or
no? I'm loving this. So what do you have to do next? What did you next? So this is now, so that's Friday.
Yeah, that's Friday. And then, then took him to, so I have to say that a tip for teens, and Chris, I know this isn't new for you. Our kids are only 2 days apart in age, but the way that I structured this trip is that every day, I didn't have a fast pass before 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. So every day I didn't feel like I needed to get him out the door at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever. Right. I just waited till he got up, and I just had we stayed at Saratoga Springs. That was the only DVC we could get at the last minute. I sat on the deck. I just had my coffee. I did the little work that I had to do for my online classes. It was so stress-free. And there were even 2 days that I woke up myself at 9:30. So our plan was to get to the parks by about 2 and then stay till park closed. So we ended up coming home very relaxed, and it was very stress free. It was really, really nice. We did go to Epcot, and he had not seen Soarin', and I made sure that we got into the center row.
Listening to Chris.
Listening to Chris and the other people too. And we ended up having the prime seats because we were on the top row, center row, and he liked that very much. And took him to Via Napoli for the first time. No, actually, it wasn't the first time for him. No, but he liked it very much, too.
Good.
And yeah, and then we did, so Studios was the last night. And he had not seen the new Star Wars ending, so we did that one a few times. And then we went to Primetime Cafe, which he wanted to go to. I'd made all the reservations ahead of time. That was the only one I didn't. And did not have a great experience there. I think that's my last time there for a while. Now, what happened was that made a reservation and showed up 15 minutes before the reservation. So the reservation was at 7 o'clock. We didn't get seated till like 7:30. And then when we got seated, we're starving at this point. The cast members there doing their thing. This lady who was, you know, kind of working with another party didn't come over and take our drink orders for about 15 minutes. Then she took our drink orders, and Mike says that I have a special talent for this. It's like every time I order something, it gets messed up. They messed up my order. So they brought Liam stuff, but they messed up my order. They were like, oh, yeah, that's what you ordered. Sorry about that. They brought it back. Meanwhile, he's eating. It was like 20, 25 minutes before my food came. So he was done.
And so you both had a meal alone with the other person.
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know. It was just, you know, I wasn't a jerk about it or anything. Accidents happen, mistakes happen. They seem to happen to me a lot, but but I just think for a vegetarian, it's very hard to eat there. Anyway, so they're very limited in what you can eat. I felt like it, you know, it was a lot of money. Waited for a super long time, even with an ADR, and then so she came back and she had a fast pass for us for any attraction that we wanted to go on. So it was like, all right, whatever.
Oh, you know, man,
it wouldn't make me go back there, but we ended up going on to Toy Story Mania, and they didn't take our fast pass, so we went on like 2 more times. So that was before Star Wars. So we ended up going on 3 times on Toy Story Mania.
So oh, good.
That was fun. And Mom still wins every time we play that.
Really? Oh, you're the boss?
He's like, I don't know why we do this. You always win.
Well, you go more often than he does. You
I have know
more
some practice. Of the tricks. I know some of the tricks. So anyway.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So that's a nice whirlwind tour you had going.
It was really great. It was really very, very nice. He came back with a terrible cold, which he passed on to me. So I'm not just
as always.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Bring the Purell with you, I always say.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, but it was good. And, you know, sometimes it's nice just to go for 4 days. We didn't do Commando, which I haven't done for many, many years. But
you had your underwear on.
Yeah, I had my underwear on. But it was just, it was nice not to have to get up early in the morning, to not feel like I had to do everything.
Yeah. We're talking about that now. My kids are going off to college. We can scoot off for like a 4-day weekend more often. So we're kind of discussing doing that. So it sounds like it's a fun way to go. It's just to, you know, get in, get out, get down and dirty and not even worry about this stuff.
Well, you know, all of us, on this podcast, and probably many people who listen who always get the story, you're going down to Walt Disney World again? What do you do there? And really, there's just so much to do there. It's never the same experience twice. And, you know, Liam has been going to Walt Disney World since he was 8 months old. And it's really fun to have a whole different experience with him, to be able to, you know, to remember the times when he was 8 months old and seeing the characters and seeing things like that, and now really kind of talk about the shows as productions, and you know, kind of seeing it through his emerging filmmaker's eye, and you know, kind of having more adult conversations, but to know that he's going to bring his kids there too, and it's going to be something that it's kind of like a family legacy that he passed on. So I don't know how many more times I'll have this time alone with him. So.
Yeah, we're sort of doing the same thing too. We're like, well, this might be the final one, you
right?
Know?
Right.
Yeah. So, enjoy it while you can.
Right. We tried.
So now that we put Mike to sleep.
Mike,
are you snoring over there? I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm snoring. What I like about these shows is that I can sit back and just let the show
let us
play
talk.
Itself. Yeah. Michelle, if you could change one thing in your trip, what would you change?
I wouldn't go to Primetime Cafe. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
I think. Other than that, but what about
What about the animal kingdom? What's the light show called?
Riverside. No, I would have gone to it because I mean, I would have always wondered what was it like. And I do recommend, Chris, that you go to it.
Okay.
Go to it and see it. And get a fast pass to go see it.
Okay.
Because you have to see it, right?
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. I would not have changed that. Mike, do you think you would never go to that?
Never, until it changes.
Well, you haven't seen it.
Well, but, you know, I'm just listening to so many reports, especially you. I mean, I value your judgment. And if you found it to be boring, what do you think I'm going to say? You know, there are things that you like that I don't like, and there are things that I like that you don't like, but I think that when it comes to Disney, we're pretty close to the same rating level. And if you thought that it was a snore fest, and you know, to be honest, the Animal Kingdom is not what it was. You know, when it opened up, it was supposed to be a lot of things. That's another show altogether. And I've been saying this for about 10 years. I think that they need to do something with that park. I think that they're trying. Got to give them credit for trying, but. You know, when you have a buildup like this, Rivers of Light has been built up for so long, and for like Pandora, it's been building and building and building. And then you tell me It's about the size of maybe the courtyard at Rock and Roller Coaster, and then Rivers
no,
of Light. And
no,
then
no,
we
no.
went on
that
tour.
Bigger than that.
We went on that that tour. We're looking at all these costumes and everything, and all these all this artist rendition about Rivers of Light, and get us all excited. And then, boom! I think that Disney's going to be very careful, because it's almost going to be like The Boy Who Cried Wolf. Oh yeah, they're doing this, they're doing that. Now, for their credit, they really didn't do an over marketing hype for Happily Ever After. They really didn't. I think that they did that very, very quietly. And I think that because of that, expectations were not high. And, you know, you've got a very decent acceptance of that. And it's been doing okay. You know, we'll see when I get there. We'll see what I think of it. But it sounds like it's done well. And my point is this. You have to be very careful that you don't oversell something that's going to disappoint people, because they will remember it. They will remember, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. And you go there and it's like, well, what's the big deal? So I think
But don't you think that you and Chris and I have maybe a higher expectation than the family that might be going once?
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I've been there 100 times and I've seen a lot of things that have been good. I've seen a lot of things that left me, you know, scratching my head. I think that a lot of this has to do with Mr. Iger. I don't know if Michael Eisner would settle for a lot of this stuff. I really think that Michael Eisner would have been a little bit more leaning on the quality side of this, even though he would be way in Disney, you know, in California. I think that he always had his hand on the parks and tried to get the highest quality. I can't say the same for Bob Iger, so we'll see. You know, and again, I'm going off on a tangent, but I'm listening to your experience, Michelle, and I'm listening to a lot of the stuff that Len said, and I think that they're in a very critical moment in the Walt Disney World and Disneyland era, because Universal Studios is coming on, and they're coming on pretty fast. So the disposable vacation dollar, the disposable income, which is right now pretty good because of the economy, is not going to be like that all the time. So I think they have to be very careful about how they market and how they draw people, because they're charging a lot of money. And if you're being charged a lot of money and you can't get on an attraction because it's crowded, or you're disappointed at a fireworks show or a Rivers of Light show, or your food is not being brought to you in the right manner at a restaurant, then there's some issues there. I think that Primetime, by the way, I think that needs to be rethemed, but that's another story. All right, I'm off my podium. I was quiet all this time, and now I'm quiet.
All right. Well, did you want me to talk about security? And I also had an interesting monorail experience.
Yeah. I know that Chris has seen how they changed
I wanted to hear your thoughts on it.
The Magic Kingdom Baggage Check
was super fast. I don't know. So the first thing is that the Magic Kingdom now, your baggage check is when you get off the tram. And we drove. And so that was taken care of before we even got on the monorail and went over to the Magic Kingdom. So that made it really fast. I did notice that the annual pass line, every single park that I went to, was longer than any other line. So I never went through the annual pass line to get into the parks. So that was kind of interesting. When I, you guys aren't DVC, I'm DVC, but when I scanned my Magic Band, it went purple before it went green. And everybody kept on saying, "Welcome home." And I'm like, "How do they know?" And finally I asked somebody, I don't know why I didn't put two and two together. They said, That purple means you're DVC. So now they know. And like people, cast members at admissions are saying, "Welcome home." So that was kind of cool. So I will say that Liam and I had an experience leaving Happily Ever After that I've never had before. And I feel like I know I've got my Disney chops. I know my Disney stuff pretty well. But something kind of interesting happened. So we got out of the park. So we didn't leave right after Happily Ever After. We decided he wanted to go on Big Thunder Mountain at night, which is a really fun experience to go on that roller coaster at night. So I said, sure, whatever. So we walked over, and got in line, made one of the last rides on it. And so then the park closed that night at 10 o'clock. So we made our way out. We got out and the monorail line was down the whole monorail ramp and in front of where you do the ticketing. And it was bigger than I have ever seen in my life. And I couldn't even see the boat dock. That's how far it was. So it was just going to be a really, really, really long wait. So I said to Liam, why don't we walk over to Bay Lake Tower? And they have Disney Vacation Club has a special lounge, Top of the World Lounge. So you have to be a Disney Vacation Club person to go up. We'll just get something to drink. We were a little hungry. We'll get something up there. We'll wait a half an hour, and then we'll take the monorail at the Contemporary and then go back to get our car. Sure, that's great. So we walked over, and just interesting for DVC people, I found out that you can always go to the Top of the World Lounge if you're staying with your Disney Vacation points on property, except for two times of the year, and that is July 4th and I believe she said New Year's Eve. So you can always go and use it. And it's, Chris, have you been up there?
You took us there one time.
Oh, good. Okay. So it's really fun. There weren't a lot of people there. It was great. We just kind of did our thing. And half an hour later, we went downstairs. We went across the bridge to go to the Contemporary. Monorail shut down for the night. We're like, what? So we're thinking, like, how are we going to get back to our car? So we went down, we talked to somebody who brought us down to the desk manager at the Contemporary, and there was another family who had the same issue. They were also at Bay Lake Tower, and the desk manager said, I just don't understand why they, you know, the monorail stopped running so early, and this very rarely happens, because I said, this must happen all the time. She's like, no, it really doesn't. I'm like, oh boy, I feel ridiculous. So they sent... she called transportation. They sent a whole bus for Liam and I and a family of three.
Wow.
and they brought us right to the ticket in the transportation center where tons of people still were. And there were trams there, and we had no problem getting on a tram. But it was really, really interesting that we could not get a monorail. Because I was saying to Mike, like, what if we were at... I don't know, the Poly having sushi, and we wanted to take a monorail back to the Contemporary. It was just really odd. The whole thing was really odd.
Did you hear the story this past week? Now, by the time this thing airs, it's going to be 3 weeks ago, but that there was a piece of the monorail that flew off?
No.
So I'm trying to see what day this was. So this was the 16th of June. So it was a couple of days ago. So probably after you did this, but... somebody was in the parking lot, and a piece of the monorail came flying off.
Oh my gosh.
So, and they said it was monorail blue, and then everything went back. But it seems it wasn't at the time that you were there, but who knows? Maybe they're starting to have some problems with the monorails.
Ah.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Weird. I don't know.
Nervous about these monorails. They were the way to go.
Yeah, I really don't know why... I felt ridiculous because I felt like I should know my Disney better. You know, like I wouldn't just haphazardly just take my kid over and not have a plan for getting him back home. So I felt
Disney
really
should have a plan for that too, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
I mean, were the boats running? Like, were there like, or you know, anything else over the buses were probably running, right? Over at the Magic Kingdom.
Well, we never went back to the Magic Kingdom. They took us to the TTC. So, but I mean, and I also felt like, oh, this is so Disney, you know, they fixed it for us. And that's why I asked the manager, I said, this must happen all the time. She's like, no, it really doesn't. I'm like, oh my God, do I feel like an idiot? so the other family, I heard them talking, they said, we almost ordered a cab just to take us back to our car. So, they fixed it for us, but even the manager was saying, I really don't understand what's going on here. This is really strange. So it's nice that everybody involved in helping us, you know, and I should have clearly done some more planning that I didn't do. Everybody was so gracious and didn't make me feel like an idiot at all, even though I did feel like an idiot. But I just felt like, wow, what? This is really unusual. I don't understand. why that they don't have the monorails running for so long. Mike, did you say that you thought that they only ran usually an hour after park ends?
The park closes? Monorail, the last monorail was supposed to leave in the past. I believe they said the last monorail would leave the Magic Kingdom 1 hour after official closing. And the trams, the last tram to leave the TTC would be 90 minutes after the official closing of the Magic Kingdom. So I'm pretty sure that's been like that since day one. So I was really surprised to hear that.
So, you know, maybe it's just that, I don't know, maybe I think in my mind, maybe I was thinking when they say the last tram runs for, you know, this amount of time, maybe that's what I was thinking. I don't know, but I just thought, oh, you know, we're being so smart. We're not going to get into this crowd. We'll just wait. We're not in a hurry. It's just really, the whole thing was really strange to me. But, you know, I didn't feel like, oh, I'm going to be stranded here for the rest of my life. But it was just a little awkward and strange.
Yeah. Usually they're good about that, you know, with Disney, with getting people around and making sure everybody is taken to the right spot.
I think the other thing that I was thinking, too, is when you saw the number of people who were in line for the monorail, there's just no way that people are going to be getting out of there fast. So why not extend it? I don't know.
Yeah, especially with the crowds for that nighttime show, right?
Yeah.
You would think.
So anyway, not the end of the world, but just something to consider if you're doing what I did and trying to take your time.
Well, I'm going to have to make sure that I try all of these things when I go down next month. Well, thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome, it was a fun trip.
Very good. All right, Michael, take us home.
Thank you, Michelle, for your very involved and detailed report. And hope you had a good time.
Good. Yes. Mm-hmm. Back to reality for a while anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So far, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and for Chris Aliopoulos, good luck with the book, Cosmic Commandos, Chris. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the park.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. Like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.